Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday edition of Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Again, we've been showing Royal Ascot all week. We will continue to do that, and the second race is coming up momentarily. Before we do that, though, let me alert you that when we come back from Ascot, we will be joined by Samantha Perry. You see her down in the paddock down at Monmouth. And Monmouth, what a really nice day of racing today. So I thought we'd reach out to Samantha, get some of her thoughts on the stakes action today on Haskell Preview Day down at Monmouth. So she'll join us shortly. But as I say, before that, we have the second race at Royal Ascot coming up. It is the Jersey, a Group 3 event, $148,000 up for grabs. Another straight shot of 7 furlongs. Just looking here, the favorite is number 9, Noble Truth. That one goes out for Charlie Appleby. William Buick on board, coming out of a win at Newmarket last time, and a pretty easy win. So that one currently is the 2-1 choice. They are loading in there, so I'll send it to Royal Ascot for the second race. Don't forget, coming up a little bit later on, the highlight for today will be the obviously the finale at Royal Ascot. And I'm just looking because Campanelle is in here. The Platinum Jubilee, actually it's the fourth race, the Platinum Jubilee Group 1 event, $1.35 million. And again, that's the fourth race coming up. But Campanelle is in there for a Wesley Ward, Irad Ortiz on board, coming out of a win at Keeneland last time. So again, the fourth race at Royal Ascot today is the Group 1 Platinum Jubilee with Campanelle. So we have a little rooting interest coming up in a couple of races at Ascot, a couple of races away at Ascot. But they're loading in the second at Ascot, so we'll send it there. I'll be back in a few to continue Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. Stay tuned.
And also audience, and I think audience is going to be the last one here. Audience going into stall number 3, 15 of them set to go. And they're off in the Jersey Stakes. Al Flaler missed the break by a few lengths. Find wasn't particularly quickly into stride either. Manada got away very well. The blue and white striped cap with Dubai Poet well to the fore. Takarib Bay, Dubawi Legend just over on the far side. The near side group, free-going Noble Truth, is leading the way to Rocky Gianni in second on this side, followed by Samburu and Frankie Dettori. Stargirls Al Mal in the green, the gold of Tuscan. Hello You is well back with Al Flaler and Michele Mass towards the rear. So it is Noble Truth that has the initiative as the field come onto the stands rail in one group. They've completed 3 furlongs in the Jersey. Noble Truth is leading Manada. Rocky Gianni is just in behind, followed by Samburu. The white-faced runner is Dubai Poet, followed by Dubawi Legend. Audience, the Cheveley Park colours on the left, trying to get a bit closer. Twa My Son, a white jacket, purple cap as the field run down towards the two here. Buick asking for more on Noble Truth. Frankie's getting there on the inside on Samburu, is making a good-looking challenge. Dubai Poet in the centre. Samburu, Noble Truth. Find is running on in the maroon, looking for an out as they approach the final furlong. Switching now, David Egan. Noble Truth battling back at Samburu. Find in the clear with Dubai Poet down the outside. Noble Truth keeping on strongly here in front, chased all the way by Find as they run close home. Very gutsy indeed. Noble Truth makes most to win the Jersey. To Find, Dubai Poet finishing strong is Stargirls Al Mal and then Rocky Gianni.
First, number 9, Noble Truth. Photo finish for second place. First, number 9, and a photo finish for second place.
So it was the favorite in the jersey. It was number 9, Noble Truth, getting it done for Charlie Appleby, William Buick on board. 9, 7, 5, and 15 there. Race number 2 at Royal Ascot. As promised before the break, big day down at Monmouth today. Haskell preview day, lots of nice stakes action. So I thought, who better to reach out to than the paddock commentator down at Monmouth, Samantha Perry. So we'll get some of her thoughts. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little Monmouth. And before we get into today, and I will also tell people, I saw that you went over the sequence a little bit over on America's Best Racing as well. Always point people over there for some fun content so folks can get some of your thoughts over there as well. But we'll add in for today also. But before we get to today in particular, talk a little bit about the Monmouth meet so far. And I pulled up this morning the on the human side of things, on the jockey side of things. I went to Equibase and Paco Lopez, no surprise, having a pretty good meet there on the human side, on the jockey side. Kelly Breen, Gerald Bennett, who I love Tampa in the wintertime, and Gerald Bennett is so proficient down at Tampa, and he has brought that right up to Monmouth this summer as well. He's sitting second. Claudio Gonzalez, the high-percentage guy down in the Mid-Atlantic, sitting third. Talk a little bit about the meet so far and how it's played out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's the Paco show most of days, but it's deservingly so. I mean, when you're on the best horse, most of the time you're going to find the winner's circle. Isaac Castillo, he's kind of a new up-and-coming rider. We had him last year, and he's really starting to prove himself. And then I think there are a lot of people that are just kind of developing into their own as far as riders. I think it'll be maybe somebody's going to give Paco a run for his money, but you just never know. When I was thinking that earlier in the meet, and then Paco won 5 races in a row, so you just kind of never know. And yeah, Gerald Bennett is definitely making a stamp on Mama so far, but Kelly Breen just really firing hot right now as well.
Yeah, it's so there are some familiar names there, and on a day-to-day basis, worth paying attention a little bit to that. And just you know, talking about jockeys and whatnot. You know, obviously people who follow you know, but if folks are unfamiliar, you had a brief career as a jockey, correct? And talk a little bit about that. And I'm curious, do you ever still get on horses in the morning?
Yes. So both of those questions. So yeah, whenever I graduated college, I actually won my first race, like a week after I graduated college. And I went to Ruidoso for the summer right after that, and I just kind of spent some time in the New Mexico circuit. I rode quarter horses, so a little bit kind of a different ball-playing game. I enjoy galloping the thoroughbred more, though. Then I decided to retire, and after retirement, I was galloping for trainer Brendan Walsh for almost 2 years, and I was with him in Florida and Kentucky. And now I get on horses in the morning for Colts Neck Stables. Jorge Duarte is their trainer, and Alan Goldberg's out there. And so just a lot of solid horses there. I like to keep my hands in the pot with it. It keeps me sharp and, you know, just always learning.
Yeah, and it gives you a great point of view for the afternoon as well, I would think. You rode quarter horses. I mean, on the show over the years, I brought on a lot of announcers, and during the summer, we broadcast live from the Saratoga backstretch, so we've had, you know, Tom Durkin and a number of the announcers on up there. And I always comment that when they do different breeds, how different it is and how interesting it is, the thoroughbreds as compared to some announcers have also done harness. But I'm always amazed quarter horse racing for announcers because, man, in a blink of the eye, it's over. I've never really talked to a jockey on a quarter horse, though, and I'm curious, How important is the break? I mean, it seems to me like getting out of the gate is so important. So I would imagine quarter horse jockeys really have to develop that skill to get out of the gate quick.
Yeah, you do. And it's just different, you know, with when you're breaking from the gate on a thoroughbred, which there are some quick gate breakers and thoroughbreds, but you've got a much longer hold. The reins almost have some slack in them. And, you know, you just kind of, they kind of take, it almost feels like you're like riding a giraffe almost, just kind of jumping out. But quarter horses, you've got a very short hold on the reins. There's no slack in them. And, you know, you're coming out with them. I mean, you have to help kind of almost push them out. And they're smart horses, too. I mean, a lot of them, the good quarter horses that break well, they hear the buttons, the starter presses, you know, the starters of the races, they have a button where they press and then the gates open. I swear some of these quarter horses can hear the button and they're already anticipating it. So it's so important. I think the term make or break probably came from quarter horse racing because the start of the race can really make or break you.
Yeah, I'd never really thought about that, but on the quarter horse side, that break is so important. You have to have maybe a little bit of a different mindset, certainly. All right, let's jump in and let's go to the Thoroughbreds. And a big day at Monmouth today, a very exciting day. And we'll kind of work our way back from the Salvatore Mile, which is going to wrap up the day at about quarter after six this evening. Grade 3 event, $150,000 up for grabs. And again, this is Haskell Preview Day, so we are likely to see some of these horses down the road on Haskell Day. But in this one, three-year-olds and up going a mile. And I pulled up last year's Haskell so we could watch Hot Rod Charlie come under the wire first. And I note that because subsequently, of course, he was disqualified. Folks, remember this race. Mandaloon, the number three second, following C third. But it does show the ability for Hot Rod Charlie to win over the Monmouth Strip or come in under the wire first, as it was. Does come in from a couple of tries at Dubai, but of course, we saw last week Casa Creed made that move and did very well. And so Hot Rod Charlie making the move here. And I would think we'll be in good form coming in from Southern California for Doug O'Neill. Hot Rod Charlie I put on top. I think Mind Control for Todd Pletcher is intriguing. Helium in the third spot. But Hot Rod Charlie on top for me. What are your thoughts in the Salvatore Mile?
Yeah, I mean, Hot Rod Charlie is the class of the field. I'll be interesting to hear kind of what the tactics are with him. I think his best shot is to go to the front. I mean, you don't have a very overwhelmingly, like, pace horse in this race. I would think that the number six Confessor would probably be one that they'll send. But Hot Rod Charlie looks like to be the one that needs to be involved early. My biggest concern with him is the distance. I mean, he's ran 1 mile just once in his career. That's when he broke his maiden. And he's been running, you know, the mile and a quarter, mile and 3/16. And so making that cutback, it worries me a little bit. But like you said, he should just outclass, I mean, all of these horses. But one that I want to throw in is the 5 Helium. I love horses coming from this synthetic surface at Woodbine. Just at any track, I love to use those horses. He's a good-looking horse. He is gelded now, and I just think that Mark Cassie might have a little bit of a bomb here.
Yeah, I've liked Helium throughout the career, and, yeah, coming in from the two races up at Woodbine, third start back this season, I always liked Mark Cassie's horses, and so I thought Helium was a little bit intriguing as well. Let's move backwards now. The Monmouth Grade 3 event, $150,000, 9 furlongs on the grass. I thought this was an intriguing field, and I pulled up the Ocean Port again, going back a little bit because we're going back to 220. So we're showing a horse over the course, and it's going to be Sacred Life in the Ocean Port a couple of years ago at Monmouth. Sacred Life's going to be the number 5 horse here on this replay, over Hawkish in second. But again, showed a little bit of ability down at Monmouth. Comes in off a second place finish most recently at Belmont in the Fort Marcy. Chad Brown, Michael Dubb and company, so you have potent connections. I tilted in that direction over the other Chad runner, Public Sector. What were your thoughts on the Monmouth?
I haven't seen changes yet, but I've heard that Public Sector was going to run in the poker at Belmont today instead.
Okay.
I can't not confirm that yet. So I handicapped the race like Public Sector was not going to be in it at all. Sacred Life, I mean, I feel like I would be silly not to include him. Obviously, he's really proved himself, and he has won on this turf course before. I wasn't a huge fan of him coming out of the Fort Marcy, just because I just didn't really like the way he shortened up down the lane. I like the 11 Hidden Stash a lot. I just don't like about Hidden Stash the spacing in between races. It's very close together, all of these races, but he ran a very nice race last time in that allowance optional claiming event at Churchill Downs. And I think it maybe at a bit of a price could be a good horse to put in there.
And I will say, as a Syracuse graduate, Coach Jim Boeheim, a little piece of hidden stash. That was a story that was floating around last year around the Kentucky Derby time. And so I'm always intrigued to see what hidden stash can do, to see if we can maybe pull Jim Boeheim a little more into the game the way Coach Pitino is. And now Denny Crum has some runners down at Churchill as well. But that's an interesting side angle there. The 12th at Monmouth this afternoon, the Pegasus, three-year-olds and up going a mile and a 16th. And in this one, it pulled up a replay going back to the Long Branch most recently in Dash Attack. And we did the handicapping show a little earlier, and I talked about this race. I put electability on top for Chad and Klarovich. I think this is an up-and-comer and maybe improving. But Dash Attack is right underneath for me. And earlier this year, when Dash Attack won the Maiden and the Smarty Jones, I thought he had the potential to be a really nice three-year-old. Hasn't quite lived up to that, but seemed to get back on track last time in that Long Branch. And again, in the replay, he'll be the number one horse. So I have electability over Dash Attack. Homebrew, Cyber Viking are interesting to me. What are your thoughts on the Pegasus?
Yeah, I'm seeing it the same way as you. Electability, he's got a lot of talent. And I think my bit worry with him is he a two-turn horse? I guess we'll find that out today. At Homebrew, I don't think he's much, just in general, but against this field, I think he could be a bit dangerous. Cook Creek, I think he deserves some attention. He gets Johnny Velasquez on him here, and he gets Lasix for the first time. Dash Attack, does he like a fast track? It's hard to say. Was it just too tough of races in the Lexington and the Rebel that he couldn't get a piece of it, or does he only like an off-track? It's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, there is that angle, both the Smarty Jones and the Long. Yeah, that's an interesting thought, and it may just be that kind of a mud lover there. We'll find out more this afternoon. In the 11th, kicking off the stakes action, the Eatontown Grade 3 event, $150,000 up for grabs, mile and a 16th. And I went back to the matriarch. Princess Grace is going to run third in here. But I showed this. Princess Grace is going to be the number one horse out at Del Mar, again, to wind up the season. Hasn't been seen since this race. But the winner is going to be number six, Regal Glory. That one went on to win the Pegasus Filly and Mayor Turf, the Jenny Wiley a week or so ago, the Just a Game. So I think flattered, certainly, by Regal Glory. So Princess Grace on top for me, but does come off a layoff and faces a couple of Chad Browns in here and Lamista and Fluffy Sox. Shug has Vigilante's Way, who I think is very, very intriguing. What are your thoughts on the Eatontown?
I'm with you on Princess Grace. I really like her a lot. I like that she's getting Florent Giroux back. She's won two races on her before. I just think that there's a lot to like about her. And the layoff doesn't concern me much because I don't think it's going to take a lot to get her fit, especially when you're 5 years old. Fluffy Sox, I mean, this will be a tough filly as well. She's been running in tough races. Obviously, that Bleecker Street of Chad Brown's is an absolute freak. So she doesn't face her here, which is a good thing. Lamista, I'm on the fence about. She's very lightly raced, and she doesn't have a USA win. So I would be a little more surprised to see her win in this race. And then, like you mentioned, Vigilante's Way. I mean, what a cool horse she is. And she keeps drawing this one post position, which is really unfortunate for her. But the rails will be all the way down today. They haven't been like that the whole meet. It is a fresh turf course all around, though, so I'm not going to put too much stock in that. But I think that I'm thinking Paco can get her in a better spot today, maybe breaking a little bit sharper. And she got into some trouble in that race with Miss Liberty. So I think that she's one that can't be ignored in this spot.
And I didn't ask you at the top, but what's the weather look like today?
The weather is partly cloudy, a little windy. So I think we should be good as far as weather goes today.
That's what we like to hear. Samantha, absolutely appreciate the visit. And as I say, you also had some comments over at America's Best Racing if people want to go over and check that out. I'm in here doing the afternoon handicapping show most days and have the Monmouth Signal on, and you and Brad Thomas do a great job. So I appreciate your joining us this morning, and good luck to everybody at Monmouth this afternoon.
Of course. Thank you. Hopefully we'll see you for Haskell Week.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Samantha Perry from Monmouth Park. Again, really, really nice day today down there with those stakes on Haskell Preview Day. And, of course, we'll cover that live this afternoon as well. Now let's take a break. Again, we have another Royal Ascot race coming up in, I think, 15 minutes or so. So I'll come back. We'll hit on some news and notes. 10:40. So we're about 15 minutes away from the next at Royal Ascot. So we'll come back. We'll hit on some news and notes, and then we'll head over to Royal Ascot, come back and wrap up the show. So stay tuned. Our Racing Across America continues.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Bridgestone. Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Valpa. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player? To have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there are a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB, become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I mentioned it earlier on the Handicappers Report, but I do want to alert you that the Albany Dutchmen, the baseball team, has a horse racing night coming up on Friday, June 24th. So next Friday, 6:35. They play at Dutchman Field. That's at Keenholz Park in Altamont. You can go see the Dutchman squaring off with the Dragons of Glens Falls. And the team, the Dutchmen, are associated, well, I should say the guys behind America's Pastime Racing are associated with the Dutchmen. They kind of run the Dutchmen organization. America's Pastime, and if you see their silks, they have the baseball on there. Jason Brinkman and company, and I've had them on with me up in Saratoga. I'm an Amsterdam guy, and they're Amsterdam guys as well. So locally based, and a lot of I saw Jason a couple nights ago at a Thurbird Retirement Foundation event up in Saratoga, and they had a really nice week about 3 weeks ago or less, where they had a nice string of winners. So always fun to see the local connections get it done. On the racetrack and America's Pastime Stable, partly sponsoring the horse racing night that's coming up for the Albany Dutchmen baseball team. Again, Friday, this Friday, June 24th at 6:35. Dutchman Field, that's at Keenholz Park in Altamont. There'll be mini ponies in attendance, courtesy of the TRF, but there's also going to be a lucky fan will get picked to have a VIP track experience at Saratoga Racecourse. So if you show up on Friday, you'll get your chance for round-trip limo transportation to the track, four reserved box seats in the stretch, courtesy of ESPN Radio, dinner at Jacob and Anthony's, so you get a nice day at the races, all taken care of with a four-seat box and such. Again, somebody will be selected at the baseball game. So again, if you want a little fun, Friday night, next Friday night, horse racing night with the Albany Dutchmen. And again, that's at Keenholz Park in Altamont, Friday night, 6:35, the Albany Dutchman versus the Glens Falls Dragons. Should be fun. And again, you get a chance to have a VIP experience at the track. What could be better than that? Did want to hit you with some thoughts going to that Pick 5 carryover today. And again, just a reminder, today at Belmont, the Pick 6, $219,000 in the Pick 6 carryover at Belmont today. The Pick 5, $291,000. That'll shoot out of the park. The Pick 5, they will jump into that with both feet. And as I said on the handicappers report earlier, I thought, was that a two-day kick? Because I don't the Pick 6 was a two-day carryover. But I thought, is the Pick 5 a two-day carry? Because $291,000? But no, it was yesterday's pool. And I went back to Thursday. And as I say, Thursday was a Pick 6 carryover. And Thursday, the Pick 6 at Belmont started with a $17 winner. But then you move into the Pick 5, and somebody hit it. So the Pick 5 at Belmont on Thursday, $8 horse that was the second choice, a $7 horse that was the favorite. Then you had a $41 horse that was the eighth choice of nine, a $51 horse that was the seventh choice of eight, and a $65 horse that was the ninth of 10. Ninth longest price in a field of 10. So the Pick 6 starts with a $17 horse, and then the Pick 5, $8, $7, $41, $51, $65. One person walks away with the Pick 5 on Thursday and collects $342,000. So congratulations to that person. But as I say, so it was hit on Thursday, not yesterday, and subsequently $291,000 in the pool today. And yesterday's sequence played out like this. And again, there's a Pick 6 carryover and a Pick 5 carryover. Pick 6 yesterday started with a $7 horse, second choice in a field of six. Then the Pick 5 sequence starts with a $52 horse, the sixth choice in a field of nine, $16 horse, third choice of six, $28 horse, the eighth choice in a field of 12. In a field of five in the next to last race, it was a $16 horse, but fourth choice in the field of five, and then a $13 horse, third in a field of 11. You know, you had the $52 horse, and then you had the $28 horse, eighth in a field of 12, all of which led to a couple of carryovers. Again, the Pick 6 today down at Belmont, $219,000 up for grabs. And the Pick 5, $291,000. And I may take a little bit of a look at that sequence a little bit later on when we come back to end the show, just to kind of, again, we looked at it a little bit on the handicappers report, but I may take another little look and just kind of get the juices flowing, because I think it'll be worth, it's a 50-cent increment, and you can jump in and at least put a little ticket together and see what happens. Third race at Royal Ascot is coming up. And again, looks like we're about 6 minutes away. It is the Hardwick Grade 2 event. Mile and a half is the distance, $321,000. And just looking here, the 1-2 choice is the number 3 Hurricane Lane, going out for Charles Appleby and William Buick. comes out of a third place finish most recently in the ARC, so that means most recently was last October. But over there in Europe, they seem to come back firing off a layoff, so we'll see what this one can do. It was the favorite in the ARC and is a short price here for the seasonal debut at 1-2 currently. So again, favorite is Hurricane Lane. Also coming out of a win, the number 8, Third Realm, comes out of a win at Goodwood on May 21st. I take that back. Third Realm is actually scratched, so let me take that back, because I thought that horse might be a little bit interesting. But the horse that the betting public is thinking deserves second place interest is Broom, the number 2 horse. This one, the seasonal debut, ran fifth. came over and tried the Breeders' Cup turf last year here, Broome did, and ran a close-up second behind Ybir. And that's the horse that's taking the money as the second choice. Again, Hurricane Lane at 1-2 is the clear favorite. And then you jump up to 5-1 for Broome. Other than that, Solid Stone comes in off a win in a Group 2 most recently, the number 7. You get 9-1 there. Sir Michael Studi, and again, a horse coming in off a win. Also coming in off a win, Lafayette, the number 4, get 9-1 there. So there are a couple alternatives, but it does seem like the favorite is legit, I would think, in here. Hurricane Lane, again, having shown some real talent so far in the year, so far in the career, with some nice Group 1 wins and really just missing as the favorite last year in the arc. Seems kind of legitimate in here for Charlie Appleby. In the third at Royal Ascot. And again, that's about 2 minutes away. So why don't we head to a break? We'll take a break, and then we'll come back and head over to Royal Ascot, take a look at that upcoming third, and we'll come back after that and give some news and notes. But right now, we'll step away for a couple. When we come back, Royal Ascot. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
To beat an on song Hurricane Lane, and Solid Stone is going to go into the stalls first.
They're about to load up. Solid Stone with a blindfold fitted. Looks a bit tricky at the stalls. Hurricane Lane 11-8 on. Broome 11-2, Mustard F 13-2, Lafayette 11-1, Solid Stone 12-1, Living Legend 16-1, away he goes at 28-1. Well, the blindfold wasn't working. Fitted to Solid Stone. Plan C is that the jockey jumps off and they try and load riderless. And he's gone in, Solid Stone, and Richard Kingscote will jump aboard in the gantry. About to go forward, a Living Legend and the favourite Hurricane Lane. Hurricane Lane, always very laid back, goes in. Living Legend is next. Followed by Away He Goes. Waiting for Lafayette, Master Def and Broom. Lafayette goes in. Three out of three this season. Master Def. Master Def going in now under Jim Crowley for Shadwell. Colours of the late Sheikh Hamdan Al Maktoum. And the last to go in is Broom. They're all set for the Group 2 Hardwick Stakes. And they're off. Hurricane Lane jumping out pretty well. Broom is sticking out wide early. Ryan Moore not joining the other runners in the early strides. And it's Solid Stone from Hurricane Lane. Broom is wide. Mostadaf, Living Legend, back in fifth place. A gap of a good four or five lengths to Lafayette then. And Away He Goes at the back of the field. And visually it's looking a pretty good gallop heading down the hill towards Swinley Bottom. So Solid Stone nearest the rail. Hurricane Lane a little wider. Much wider is Broom in the grey and white checks and the white cap. They're chased by Mostadaf and Living Legend and Lafayette, and in the noseband at the back is Away He Goes. They're about to enter the final mile as they swing right-handed towards Swinley Bottom. Solid Stone and Broom, and now Broom is pressing on in a briskly run Hardwick Stakes from Solid Stone. Hurricane Lane always switches off well in third. Then Mostadaf, Living Legend behind these, followed by Lafayette and Away He Goes. Swinging on right-handed and now meeting the rising ground inside the final seven furlongs. And Broom has come across to lead from Solid Stone. Just racing off the inside running rail a little bit here. Hurricane Lane is third, still weighted with in the hands of William Buick as Broom continues to try and stretch them out, heading towards the final five furlongs. Behind Hurricane Lane is Mostadaf, Living Legend, Lafayette, and Away He Goes. So heading on now towards the final half mile. And Broom pretty well committed here, leads by 3.5 lengths to Solid Stone. Hurricane Lane in third place. Mostadaf inside the four. Then Living Legend, Lafayette, and Away He Goes is still at the rear. They race towards the final turn and heading on towards the three furlong marker. And it's Broom and Ryan Moore now just begins to push along, urging him along from Solid Stone. Hurricane Lane is pulled out wide by Buick. Then Mostadaf, followed by Lafayette, wide Away He Goes, and Living Legend. Broom still leads the way. Hurricane Lane on his first run of the season, sent after him, not at the moment quite getting there. Then Mostadaf and Solid Stone. Broom keeping up the gallop as they race inside the final furlong. It's Broom by 3 or 4 lengths to Hurricane Lane, getting a bit tired. Mostadaf running on down the outside, but racing up towards the line. Broom is a stout sire, and he's absolutely relentless, and he wins the Hardwick. From Mostadaf in second, Hurricane Lane third, Solid Stone for fourth.
The outcome to our third race is first, number two, Broom. Second, number six. Third, number three. And the fourth placed horse, number seven. The provisional result to the Group 2 Hardwick Stakes. First, number two, Broom. Second, number six, Mostadaf. Third, number three, Hurricane Lane. And the fourth placed horse, number seven, Solid Stone.
So Broom, betting public nailed the second option there again. There was a short price on Hurricane Lane, who kind of tipped out when they hit the straight, and it looked like now's the time. And then you could see, and the announcer said, not really making up any ground, and Hurricane Lane just kind of went even and eventually lost second. But Broom got out to the lead and kept going. So the betting public was correct on the next alternative, and why not? It was Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, and they get it done in this Hardwick race number three at Royal Ascot. It came out 2-6, 1-7. Six being the third choice, actually, as well. So, again, the betting public was correct. You know, if you were looking to beat the favorite. They had the two alternatives there correctly, and they ran 1-2 with the big favorite, Hurricane Lane, winding up third. Was the first start of the year, so you know, maybe builds off of this one and moves forward. We'll see. So far in the career, 6 wins in 8 starts with a couple of third-place finishes, so adds another third place. That was going into today, so now it's 9 starts, 6 wins, and 3 third-place finishes for Hurricane Lane. Appleby and Godolphin, William Buick on board that one. Winds up third again in the seasonal debut. Coming up, what do we have, about a half an hour now, 11:20. It is today's highlight, the Platinum Jubilee Grade 1 event. A huge field in here, sprinting the straightaway 6 furlongs for $1.35 million. And this one will be fun to watch because Campanelle for Wesley Ward, Stone Street. See if Irod Ortiz can get rolling here at Royal Ascot. Irod was on board Campanelle for the seasonal debut at Keeneland in the middle of April. Nice win, triple-digit buyer in that stake at Keeneland. From there, over to Royal Ascot. And this horse has won already a couple of times at Royal Ascot in the career. This is a 4-year-old, but Campanelle won as a 2-year-old in the Queen Mary. That was in 2020, facing the fillies there. Subsequently, last year, she went over and faced the boys and won on disqualification. She was a close-up second, but the winner was disqualified. So she went over in a Group 1 last year, the Commonwealth, and won again on the DQ. And now she goes over again this year, faces the boys in a little bit of a tougher situation even, with just a huge field coming up in this upcoming fourth. I'm just looking to see where we are after scratches. There was 27 entered, 1 scratch. 2 scratch, 3 scratch. So 20, a field of 24 with Campanelle in here. She'll be the number 20 horse. The morning line has her at 5-1. Boy, is she the 5-1 favorite? No, number 13, Home Affairs, is the 5-2 morning line favorite. But again, it's always fun to watch and root for kind of the home team in these Royal Ascot races, so we shall see what Campanelle does coming up again in about a half an hour. The favorite, Home Affairs, a turf sprinter coming in from Australia, where that's kind of a specialty for them, and they have in the past done very well at Royal Ascot as well. Be interesting to see how the odds shake out as we get to post time and whether that will all hold, with Campanelle being, again, a fairly short price on the morning line. As an invader from America, and Home Affairs being an invader from down under, having won some nice major turf sprints down there, putting almost $2 million in the bank has Home Affair. Campanelle has over $600,000 with 5 wins and 8 starts. And as I say, she has already successfully taken on the boys and won and done it at Royal Ascot. So be interesting to see. Again, about a half an hour away, the fourth race at Royal Ascot, the Platinum Jubilee. Campanelle will be the number 20 horse for Wesley Ward, Stone Street, and Irod Ortiz. All right, as I said earlier, just want to once again kind of look through this sequence of the Pick 5 at Belmont, because you are certainly going to want to think about taking a little swing here with the... And again, there's a pick six carryover as well, $219,000. So if you're a pick six player, you can salivate about that. But for pick five players at the 50-cent increment, $291,000 carryover. And again, the way folks in this country now play the pick five, you will have to think this will balloon up significantly. It kicks off this afternoon, the pick five at Belmont, in race number 6, the Poker. Grade 3 event, $250,000, mile on the grass. I have Mason on top, over Sanctuary City, over Public Sector. And as Samantha Perry said, the word is that Public Sector will choose to go here. being a Chad Brown horse, Chad Brown Klarovich horse, that adds a piece to the puzzle. Do you single Mason or throw Public Sector in between those two? Again, I thought Sanctuary City, the New York bred, was intriguing off the 3 second place finishes so far this year. You know, in fine fashion, the last was in a state bred stakes race, but has successfully faced open company before. So if you're looking for an alternative, maybe that's the one. But boy, it just seems the form Mason is in for Chad Judmont seems like that is a logical single, and I'm sure will be for a lot of people, probably including me, because there are races in the sequence where I think you have to go a little bit deeper. So in the opening leg, Mason maybe is the, you know, in the five-horse field, that's the one to kind of tilt on. And as I say, some races you'll have to go a little bit deeper, and I think that includes race number 7, where I had written at the top of the page, tough race, and I have the 7th race, 8, 9, 1, and 4, Dripping Gold for West Point and Company and Shug. Debuted up at Saratoga, won very nicely up at Saratoga in the career debut, and that win was so nice that they got ambitious and tried the Grade 1 summer up at Woodbine. You know, didn't fare quite as well there, but you would have to think now off since, lightly raced 2-year-old that had shown some talent, now gets some time off if this horse comes back. At all improved. Dripping Gold, I think, is very interesting at a potential little bit of a price. We're looking at 6-1 on the morning line. Will that hold up? Icarus goes out for Brad Cox. Broke the maiden on the synthetic at Turfway 2 back. Followed up on the turf at Keeneland last time in an allowance event and ran a pretty good third. And I say it a lot. When you move from a condition to a condition, maiden special weight to non-winners of 1, non-winners of 1 to non-winners of 2. Sometimes a horse will take a start or 2 to kind of get into the condition. I think this horse got good experience at the non-winners of 1. So Icarus at an 8-1 morning line for Brad Cox. Intriguing. Credit event goes out for Chad and Klarovich. With kind of a similar profile to the top pick, albeit this year as opposed to last year, but won the maiden race pretty nicely and then was a little bit disappointing in the second career start. That was also a move from synthetic to turf, so maybe turf is still a question mark for this one, although with Chad Brown in his corner, you have to think, yeah, it seems like Credit Event is maybe very playable. And Merci in the third spot for Christophe Clement, who seems playable as well. Depending, I haven't formulated a ticket yet, but boy, I'd be tempted to use all 4 of those on my ticket. And I had it labeled a tough race, so I could point to at least 2 or 3 others in here that I think are playable. Chad Brown has a Euro import for Michael Dubb and Company and Fighter in the Win. Todd has Analogy, who comes out of a maiden breaker on the turf over at Aqueduct. Wesley Ward has Castle Lock, who seems to be a potential player as well. Todd is another one with a European import that could be intriguing, and Beauty Amazed. So tough race. I'll probably use my 4 depending on where I am, you know, number-wise in some of the other legs. I have an 8, 9, 1, and 4 in the 7th at Belmont. 8th race at Belmont. $40,000 claimers going to mile and 16. 3, 4, 5, and 2. Pioneer Spirit. Going out for, amongst others, our friends at America's Pastime Racing, who I mentioned before, have the baseball night coming up on Friday. But these are the kind I like. This is a claim back. This horse was claimed away from them 2 starts. And then first start back, they jumped right back in and picked up this horse. So you got to like that. The horse seems in very good form and kind of logical in here. Off the claim also for Kentamachi is 235, claimed last time and claimed out of a nice win with a solid buyer, really the best one showing up on the page. It's not a lifetime best, but it's the best one on the page for this 8-year-old, which may bode well for this runner. Chris and Dave goes out for Jeffrey Engelhart off the claim. Prince James, Rob Atris, runner, gets a little class relief moving into this claimer and is dangerous. This is one of those races where I'm going to have to decide where to go, who to play, because I don't know whether I can afford to play all 4 in here, but it's competitive enough where you can make that case, but I'm going to pick and maybe pick, and then, you know, if I get through the first couple of legs, maybe I use the ones I didn't use and a pick three, depending on the prices. But in the eighth at Belmont, I have a 3, 4, 5, and 2. Ninth race at Belmont, looking at state bred allowance runners on the grass, 7, 5, 9, and 4. I put Mission at the Spa on top. A lot of early speed, and I think that may be the game plan for this horse, to just go out and try to take them all the way. I don't think that's out of the question that that could happen at this 7-furlong trip on a little bit of a cutback from the race most recently. Mr. Kringle came up from Tampa and put in a good closing second last time. Does tend to sit back and close, though, with this type. You're always up against it a little bit, but if things do fall apart in the stretch, this horse will be coming. 42 Ace goes out for Charlie Baker. Has not been seen since March and has no turf experience. So that's the question mark. I think the horse is talented enough, though, to fit in here if he takes to the surface, and then Cotton playable as well for a Mark Cassie. But I'd probably stick with my top two in here. Not with a lot of confidence. I'm not saying they totally stand out, but from the aspect of trying to keep the ticket kind of affordable, I have it 7, 5, 9, and 4. 7 and 5 are the interesting ones for me. In the 10th and final today, again, it'll go off at about 5:45. Mile and 3/8 on the grass for maiden specials, 4, 1, 5, and 8. Braille, nice series of improving numbers, good numbers compared to this bunch, but they're on the dirt. Well, there's this three races, there's two dirt races bookending a synthetic race. So again, the numbers have been moving forward nicely, topped by a number last time that stands out in this bunch. But again, that last race was on the dirt. This is on the turf, tries the turf for the first time. So it's a question mark. I'm going to tilt in that direction. Hope, because of the surface switch, the odds do hold up. I'm a little leery. I mean, we're looking at 6-1, and folks these days concentrate so much on buyer figures. I'm not sure what we may wind up with there. But Braille on top, forwardly for Chad Brown, comes in off a seasonal debut that was a little bit of an improved effort. And if that moves forward, continues moving forward, he's playable. Remote, obviously you draw a line through the last race. But what we saw just prior to that makes Remote a player in here. Hashtag No Wonder at a price. Been kind of knocking at the door down at Gulfstream and Churchill most recently. Now comes up to New York, and I think probably fits with this group. This one, I'm not sure how deep to go. It will depend, again, on the numbers I have already on the ticket. I could see making a case for the top two, maybe. But, you know, if I can, I'll use 3 or 4. But I could probably get away and feel, not comfortable necessarily, but feel like, I'm in the realm of keeping the ticket affordable, the top two are okay. But, again, I wouldn't do that with a whole lot of confidence. In the 10th and final at Belmont, 4, 1, 5, and 8. But again, you will want to take a look, and you will potentially want to jump in if you can make a fun and ticket that's affordable for you, because there's $291,000 in the Pick 5 carryover pool today at Belmont. Again, it'll kick off in race 6. That'll go at about 3:30 this afternoon. So you have plenty of time to look and handicap for yourself and put your own ticket together. I'll be talking about that sequence, obviously, a little bit later on OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. We'll also have some Monmouth in the mix and much, much more, so it should be fun. Don't forget, if you'd like to come down to the Clubhouse Racebook today, pick and putt. You can step up, potentially, folks randomly selected throughout the afternoon to step up to the putting green. You sink a putt, you maybe win a little free dough. As I said earlier, I walked out middle of the afternoon yesterday, and I know the very first two people that were invited up to the putting green yesterday both sunk their $20 putts. So see if you can win a little free something down here at the Clubhouse Racebook and have some fun this afternoon. And it'll be going on tomorrow as well in honor of the U.S. Open. Pick and Putt here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Again, we're about 20 minutes away from this fourth at Ascot. Let me just see what we have on Campanelle. And again, she is the number 20 horse. Wow. She is currently the 8-5 favorite. I'm not sure I'm buying into that. I was a little more appreciative of the 5-1 morning line. The morning line favorite, Home Affairs, the horse coming in from Australia, 7-1. So, and again, these turf sprinters from Australia tend to be salty, and they've done well at Royal Ascot before. So maybe the flip-flop in the odds maybe offers an opportunity to shop around a little bit in here. You know, you got to root for the American Campanelle, but that doesn't mean you have to bet the American. It'll be fun, though, to see Campanelle and what she does here in the upcoming Platinum Jubilee, race number 4 at Royal Ascot. Again, going off in, now their clock is showing about a little under 20 minutes to go. It'll go off at about 11:20. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Racing Across America for a Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, thanks for joining us. I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so as we will kick off a Saturday afternoon OTB Live. I want to thank our guest this morning, Samantha Perry, the paddock commentator from Monmouth Park, for joining us, giving us a preview of Haskell Preview Day and the four nice stakes they have on the card today. I think you'll enjoy those as well. But again, we'll touch on that this afternoon on OTB Live. So about an hour and a half or so, we will be back for OTB Live on this Saturday afternoon. So we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.